What's going on, y'all? 97.5, the Fanatic 10-12 on this Wednesday night, the debut of the 76ers 2020 campaign, and that resulted in a win. Welcome in the post here on 97.5, the Fanatic, as we do every time after the game. We follow up the Sixers, win or loss, and tonight they start off the season on the right foot with a W. In this one, 113-107 over the Washington Wizards. A little scary for the 76ers as things really got going in the third quarter. Some usual things, right, that we've been accustomed to seeing from this basketball team in the third quarter. Losing that one and then ultimately losing the game. But they turned things around in the fourth quarter after losing the third quarter by 9 points. They turned it around big time, winning that frame by 16, 40-24, walking away with a 6-point victory in this one, 113-107. And yes, it was at home, but it was without fans, and it was with the new coach. You can say anything you want about this team, but what we've seen is a collapse in the third quarter coming out of the locker room, and oftentimes that has resulted in a loss. This time, I don't know what the difference is. We can point to the coach. We can point to some new leadership on the bench as well with the players like Dwight Howard, Danny Green, etc. Or it could just be, hey, it just worked out for this team tonight. But we will break it all down with you until midnight right here in the post on 97.5 The Fanatic. Some new things that we want to do, of course, as the season gets underway. And we will certainly take your phone calls. We have a few people waiting, starting with Stan already on hold. And Stan, we will get to you, Drew, and everybody else that's there as well. We will still give out the number 610-632-0975 as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Each game, we will point out the MVP of the game, whether it be the Sixers or the opposition. Make sure we'll point out the difference maker of the game doesn't necessarily have to be the MVP. Overall, I already have mine. We'll get into those as well. And we'll also highlight the play of the game. And I think certainly we will point out something in the fourth quarter that helped seal the win for the 76ers tonight in the fourth quarter, where they won again by 16 in that frame, 40-24. Another feature that we're going to have here on the post-game show, in the post, going forward throughout the season, as best as we can, as long as it's not one of these late games going until 1 o'clock in the morning, we're going to bring on my partner, oftentimes on 76ers roundtables, pregame shows, postgame shows. We just heard her yesterday on the Sixers preview special with Bob Cooney and myself. We will be joined right away, get instant analysis from the great D Lineham, a member, of course, here of 97.5 The Fanatic, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward every single Sixers game that I am here. Maybe she'll be doing the other ones if they are weekends. However it goes, D Lineham, thanks so much for joining us and welcome in the post.
Come on, I had my paper out because I put my answers to your three questions. So before I get off, I hope I'm allowed to give my
opinion. You are allowed. You are allowed, and I will throw those at you before you sign off. But D, hey, listen, right away, you can look at this one 30-26, and you can have that feel of, okay, they're down early, and it looks like, you know what, with that 30-26 comeback, you can see some different things already about this team. What was your breakdown of how this game overall played out?
So I have to be honest with you, I was a little frustrated watching for parts of it and certainly into that third quarter. That was my initial. And I also felt like the two guys that we always talk about, Ben and Joel at that point, I'm saying, you know, same old, same old. I'm not seeing different. And then obviously Joel comes out and has a monster fourth quarter. And we'll give Bob Cooney his credit because he said, I want the guy to average, I think he said 30-13.
Yes.
And he ends up with 29-14. So he's off to a good start for Cooney for sure.
Right.
But those were numbers comparable that we said 2 years ago. The guy was 28-13.5. And this is with him not having a third quarter at all, in my opinion. Now, the flip side is he's playing against a guy that he should dominate, in my opinion, again, in Thomas Bryant. And Thomas Bryant had a very difficult night left and right getting called for, you know, everything. He couldn't do anything right out there. So my initial thoughts were frustration, but my thoughts in the fourth is that your guy that you want to rise did. And I have to tell you, Doc has been talking about Shake Milton and Furkan Korkmaz and what he wants. I think I used the phrase last night, his bench to be a game changer. These two guys are capable of being the anchors of his game-changing bench.
Absolutely. And the 29 points from Joel Embiid, D, that he had 15 of those in the final frame. 11 yep. minutes and 25 seconds. He played the entire fourth quarter for this basketball team, giving him 15 points, 3 boards, 5 of 8 from the floor, and most importantly, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, D, knocking yep. all of them down, and a key bucket down the to really get them back into the groove of coming back in the fourth quarter, where he just flat out overpowered Thomas Bryant, to your point.
Right. And part of me, though, Devon, he gives me that, and I say, why not more? And maybe that's selfish on my part.
No, it isn't.
Like, takes. So his first bucket of the game was a 17-foot jumper. And I'm saying, seriously, this is how we're going to start? Like, take it to him right out of the gate. But, you know, again, I can't argue with his line. I can't argue with the effort and how he took his team on his back in that fourth quarter to make this a W. And by the way, this is a much improved Washington team, in my opinion, defensively for sure. Mm-hmm. And while, you know, Russell and Bradley Beal certainly had the better of your backcourt of Ben and Seth, because they scored 52 points, those two guys. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be their thing every single night in order for them to win with some help from others like Davis Bertans. We'll get into all of that. D-Line, I'm joining us in the post on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. D, you pointed it out already. Shake Milton, 19 points, 6 of 11 from the floor, 29 minutes and 44 seconds, 7 free throws in his time out there, plus 33. I don't normally look at the plus minus because I don't care about it as much as many others do, but that obviously stands out. And in the fourth quarter down the stretch, he got all 12 minutes, and D, he got the ball for a majority of it, running the Sixers offense in the fourth.
Well, you point out two things that stood out to me. Playing all 12 minutes, and I think you and I discussed this yesterday, we know that Doc Rivers cares about his bench. We know that Doc Rivers has had high-level six men of the year in Lou Williams and Jamal Crawford. And as much as I might want to put Shake in the starting lineup, I understand this is going to be this guy's role, and he's going to shine in it. So, but I love why, and we saw this in Shake last year, Devon. Quite frankly, he had one bad game, in my opinion, when they resumed the season through the end of the playoffs, which was too short, mm-hmm. obviously, for the Sixers. But I love the way he played. If you're going to point out his plus 33, and I'm with you, I don't always look at that number. I put very little, but his plus 33 stood out, but so did Danny Green's minus 27.
Yes, it did. It absolutely did, D, and I was going to get to those guys as well, because Danny Green, if we talk all the positives as we do, we cannot ignore the things that did not go the way of the 76ers. Danny Green and Tobias Harris, a combined 1 of 9 from behind the three-point line, and overall a combined 5 of 14. A combined from behind the three-point line, 0 for 8.
0 for 8, yeah.
And 4 of 19 from the field.
Correct.
And look, it's game one. They're all trying to figure each other out. They've only had 2 preseason games. And the practices that they've had, shooters struggle. Shooters go on these streaks where you can get into a bind. And what I saw there was an opportunity for many of us to look at Tobias Harris and say, okay, here we go again. And I'm not going to go there, but it certainly had my attention as the game started to play out, because he had good looks. Doc Rivers talked about it after the game. He said he's not worried, but he did have good looks. And D, there were some short ones. There were some long ones. There were some that I felt like it seemed like he started to play a little hot potato, because he didn't want the ball after the struggles were evident.
I would agree. I don't know. I mean, obviously, Danny Green ends up only playing 18 minutes. Tobias is out there for the 31.
Yes.
And he takes, you know, twice as many shots. So I've seen Tobias like this, where he just gets in a funk, and he'll have. I'll go and look and see. You know, those 2 for 10 or 3 for 13, as he was tonight. Obviously, when you're a guy who ended up averaging 19 points last year, he had more good days than he had bad, and he certainly had his best days scoring-wise under Doc with the Clippers. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a leash, and I have to give Danny, I guess, a little bit of a leash. But last year, Danny struggled shooting percentage-wise compared to who he had been the year before that we saw with Toronto. So, and I had said to you last night, I didn't like the idea of starting Seth and Danny Green together. I don't like the concept defensively, because Danny, while he is and has been a good defender, and I think we saw it today, he's getting older and he's a step slower than some of these guys on the perimeter. And Seth isn't known for his defense. So to me, you, and then Tobias. Tobias is okay. So to me, you have three guys who are average out there starting defensively. So, of course, then I was challenged by a coach in my family. Who are you then going to start? And I'm saying to myself, I get that you're not going to put Shake out there. You know, obviously we saw the rookie Tyrese Maxey, and we'll get to him, and he's wonderful. I think eventually that can be a role for him. But I think there, even Mike Scott, obviously Doc has great confidence in Mike Scott because he's had him before. And, you know, maybe that's the guy. But I think just having those two guys defensively, I think it hurts to start a game. I don't know if you feel the same way.
No, I was with you. I was with you when I thought initially before the season started, when we were doing these shows, and I would point out how I felt that Matisse Thybulle, I thought he would get the nod to the second year, see if he can take that leap. And for whatever reason, maybe it was the fact that he was out with the injury, or they wanted shooters out there to start the game to surround Simmons and Embiid, or make things easier for Harris. I don't know, but if this continues, then Doc Rivers may have to make a decision at some point. And D Line, I'm joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward in the post until midnight. D will join us every game as best as we can based on the schedule that will go, and we will do this every time, and we'll get to our phone calls. Thanks for everybody for being patient. D, you mentioned Tyrese Maxey and his 10 minutes and 51 seconds. He brought some energy. We talked to him last night, and nothing there. Disappointed. He came in. D, this time, though, he really looked in. Again, game number one of his pro debut in the regular season, and he looked like he belonged.
He looked like he belonged. Two, I think that I feel better because the jitters that you would have coming out of that gate, and there's 20,000 people and they call your name and all of that. I feel for him because I want him to have that experience, and down the road he will. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that is, to him, it just looked like, you know, I'm going back out on the court. I did this against, you know, Boston and Indiana. And I know last night he said, well, but this one counts in the, you know, standings. And it does. But in a very short amount of time, and I think I only put one thing on Twitter tonight, Devon, but in the third quarter when they were struggling and they only scored 15 points, by the way, I'm saying, please put in Maxey, please. And it was not until the 3:20 mark. And I get it. That's like kind of a set rotation for the first game that you're doing, and he is a rookie, and I get it. But what he had given you in that first half, I'm saying you're struggling. This guy's an energy guy. Please, can't we just, like, move it up a minute?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 3:20 finally got in the game.
Yeah.
Wow. I loved his 11 minutes. Actually, they rounded up. It was less than 11, and he was 3 of 6 from the floor. You know, he had a great assist to Furkan, which I loved on a transition.
Cross court.
Yeah,
yep.
Come on.
Yep. Nice chest pass on the angle, right in the pocket.
And as you pointed out, which I hadn't really studied him enough, you know, he has that high floater that, honestly, for me, in my time of covering the team, you know, nobody did it better than AI with that high teardrop. And this kid has a chance to be as good at like putting it up so high.
Right? Mm-hmm. The floater, the runner, the teardrop, all of that stuff with two hands, one hand. He has it all. Dee, as we get ready to wind down this segment for you, you mentioned it. I have three things that I want to incorporate into the show. Three other things outside of having you join us, which is going to be great. My three things. Number one, I'll start with you. As you said, you were writing it down as soon as you heard me laying it out.
Yeah,
and
so
we'll get it from the clip from the callers as well. MVP, difference maker, and the play of the game.
So my MVP is Joel Embiid. I can take nothing away from this guy. 29 with his 15 coming in the fourth. Man took his team and put him on their back. The next one was difference maker for me, Shake Milton, hands down, and keep your eye out for this guy because I think he'll be in the running, provided he stays healthy, for sixth man of the year, because I don't think Doc will remove him from his place, despite the fact that he could be a starter, but he is excellent in this role. And the play of the game for me is going to be the pass from Seth Curry to Ben Simmons late in the fourth. And honestly, I had kind of in my head, I'm a little knocking Seth going along until you get to the fourth with him also. And I thought he made a couple of plays in the fourth, but that assist to Ben Simmons coming out of a timeout, to me, sealed the game.
Dee, this is why we're great teammates. Tyler can attest to this. I said, hey, man, I need these three cuts for our MVP, difference maker, and play of the game. Joel Embiid, Shake Milton, and the Curry pass to Ben Simmons for the dunk as well. So, great start for us as well.
I'm clapping if you can't hear me.
That's exactly how I had it. Oh, and quickly, before we let you go, and then we're going to, you know, take our break and come back and start things off with Stan. To your point, down the stretch, as things were going the way they were going, Beal and Westbrook were having their way, scoring their 52 combined points. In the fourth quarter, as the guards, Shake and Curry, were out there, Shake could not be taken off the floor. And I understand why you have Curry out there. Harris didn't have it. That's when I wanted to see Matisse Thybulle for the first time. I think I needed the coach to pull the trigger on that one. So to your point of the energy in the third, when Maxie could have been inserted into the game, I felt the same down the stretch. Even cold, Matisse Thybulle, I thought he would have been better than somebody else other than Simmons and Embiid as a defender to at least put a body in front of them that we know can defend.
I absolutely agree. And Devon, this is what I'm going to tell you. This is where Matisse is going to have to reprove himself, because you and I both know what this guy can do defensively and create chaos. And as I said, he's not a total liability at the offensive end, but he clearly has not had an opportunity because of that ankle injury to be able to prove what he can do in a practice setting defensively to create the chaos. And I agree with you. And I hope somebody will just say, hey, give this kid a chance, because he's going to be able to help you.
Well, Doc said post-game that normally you see a guy with body language comes in and it's bad because they are asking to come in just for a few seconds. And you can tell if they should be out there or not. He said, not this kid. He said he seemed like body language-wise, he wanted to be out there. So a good sign right there. Dee, thanks so much for sticking around for us, staying up a little while. You watched the game, but hanging around to join us in the post for a few minutes to start off the show. Thank you so much. And again, we will do this with Dee Lynam every game that we are on during the week in the post. Dee Lynam will join us right out of the post game show with Brian Seltzer, and we will get right at it with Dee's analysis on the game. Sixers win 113-107, 1-0 on the season. Dee, have a great holiday. Have a great weekend.
Say the same.
Yes, and we will certainly talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Merry Christmas. Stay safe.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Dee Lynam joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. All right, guys, we got to pay the bills. Stan, we start with you when we get back. Everybody else, we see you. You're not being ignored. We come right back. We take your phone calls. We get into your thoughts on the game. I can't wait to hear from you about game one, 113-107 victory over the Wizards. The new look Sixers. What did you think? Sixers walk away with the win. We're in the post until midnight right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone.
Devon Gibbons, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
10:38, 97.5, The Fanatic in the post. Devon Givens with you. Sixers win 113-107. 1-0 on the season as they start things off against the Washington Wizards. A little scary for a minute, but they finally got things underway. We thank D. Lineham for joining us to start off this first in the post of the season. Once again, a new wrinkle for us as we go along. So we will give, as we pointed out, MVP, difference maker, and play of the game as we do every single time we are on in the post. It may not be a Sixer all the time, but tonight they finally pulled it off because, as D mentioned, the difference maker for her was Shake Milton. I got to be honest, before they turned it around and walked away with the win, I was going with Davis Bertans and what he was able to do to help swing the game for the Washington Wizards when he really started to get things going in the second quarter. Three straight three-pointers, and in this fourth, in the fourth quarter, 11-0 run that they had to start off the third frame out of the locker room, and I thought he would have been the difference maker had they not walked away with the victory, the Sixers, and we decided to go with Shake Milton. So great stuff by D. That's where I was going. We'll pose that to you every night as well. 610-632-0975. Let's start it off on the phones in Drexel Hill with our friend Stan, tipping things off in the post right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stan.
Hey, what's going on, Devon? First of all, man, I'm just really just thankful that I get to be the first caller for the beginning of a brand new season. Didn't think this would happen as far as just with things going with, you know, with COVID. And so for us to be able to talk basketball again, you know, and it matters is really cool and dope. And I'm glad I get to share this with you again.
Oh, for sure, man. Thank you. And thanks for sticking on while we had
to. Of course, absolutely.
D. Yeah.
Oh, I had to, you know, and I love listening to D. And,
I know you do.
And that's the thing. Listening to y'all, it really lets me sit back and I might have a point. And then y'all say something and then I kind of got to reevaluate and say, you know what? I didn't see it that way. And try to break it down because, you know, I try to look at the game the way you guys do. You know, you guys have a great eye for it, and it helps to hear other people's opinion on things because you might have missed something. Because I wasn't even thinking about that with Bertans, but you can't – the guy was a flamethrower the way he was shooting, and he hit the one shot that it just didn't count. And that's how hot he was, you know, because the clock ran out. So I can't get mad at that. I agree with you as all three points. Embiid, Shake, and that last play to Ben – those are my three right there. I got to tell you, this Wizards team, I think, is going to be a lot better than people anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
I believe defensively, they gotten a whole lot better. You can just tell by the rotations and the way they're a little bit more crisp. One thing I've noticed, though, and you can point it out to me, this is with officiating. It doesn't seem like we don't get those 3 second calls for defense because they have a guy who's spying Embiid. And a lot of times you can clock that guy. He's in the lane for about 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
not touching a man because, you know, they try to space it out. And I thought that was kind of interesting. But anyway, Tobias struggling. I know Danny Green struggled as well. And Seth, even to the beginning, and then came alive a little bit towards the end, hit a clutch little one footer shot. You know, you look at the overall dynamic of the team, and I think going forward, they're going to be okay. You had, what, almost 20 turnovers, if not 20 turnovers tonight? Can't have that. My thing is, you got to get these type of games out of the way early. You know, you got to get these knocking the kinks off and trying to get into a rhythm and getting familiar with guys. My biggest takeaway from this was Embiid playing the whole fourth quarter.
100%.
You know, that to me is very, very, very indicative of how serious he's taking not only his conditioning, but being out there. Because you saw just how important he was, 15 points in the fourth quarter. And we know Shake was doing his thing. But seeing Embiid play the whole fourth quarter and being able to dominate, that's what you want from your star. You want your stars to be able to be there when you need them the most and to play dominant, not to get tired. And my last point, and you can tell me, how many threes did Embiid shoot tonight?
Joel Embiid shot tonight one three-pointer, and he made it.
One three. That to me is a huge thing as well. Now, you know, there's going to be games where he takes a little bit more and all that stuff, but watching the way the offense is just trying to be built around him, I sense that you're not going to see that Embiid jacking those 4 or 5 threes a game, which is going to be great for the team because he's going to be down on the block, probably getting guys. You saw he had, what, 3 or 4 different centers getting four or five fouls just because of the way he was playing physically. You know, and he probably could have got to the line a little bit more with some calls that didn't go our way.
Yeah, Lopez, Thomas exactly. Bryant, right. both exactly. 5 and 4, and it just played out that way. Listen,
man. That's what you got to do, man.
You're absolutely right. But listen, thanks for the call, man, as
absolutely.
Always. Happy holidays
you
to you.
Saturday, bro.
You got it, man. Thanks.
Right,
appreciate it. We'll talk to you. Stan, great breakdown. And as you mentioned, foul trouble for the Washington Wizards bigs. Thomas Bryant with 5 personal fouls. Robin Lopez with 4. Mo Wagner came in. He picked up a quick 3 in his 5 minutes and 55 seconds. Just went right at him. But that's what he's supposed to do, Joel Embiid, when he has the ball on the low post. Just to give you his numbers in this game, 34 minutes and 50 seconds, which, by the way, folks, that was a team high, 34 minutes and 50 seconds. So when we talk about the conditioning and mixing things up, we for many years have seen Joel Embiid come out of the game at that, what, 7-minute mark a lot of times for the 76ers. Comes out of the game in the first quarter very late, right? Very late. And at one point late in the game, to keep Embiid involved in the fourth quarter, what did Doc Rivers do? Instead of taking Embiid out, he called a timeout. Didn't take him out. I'm calling a timeout to give him a breather so we can get him back out there and ride this guy throughout the rest of the game. So that's what you want to see. That's what you want to see from your big man, from your horse, from your best player to carry you home. And that's what he did in the fourth quarter, where he dropped 15, 5 rebounds in that frame, 2 assists as well. Pardon me. Yeah, 15 in the final with 3 boards, 2 assists, 5 of 8 from the floor. That's what you want to see from Joel Embiid. 610-632-0975. We're in the post until midnight. Sixers win 113-107 in their season opener right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go next to Drew in Westchester here in the post on this Wednesday night. Drew, how you doing?
Hey, Devon, how are you tonight, man? Happy holidays to you and your family and everyone.
Same to you. Thank you.
All right, man. So, yeah, like, you know, as a casual fan of basketball and the Sixers, you know, because hockey's my main jam, but, you know, I watched the game and, you know, I really thought Embiid played a solid game. I was a little disappointed with Simmons at times, you know, although I thought he finished pretty strong. I kind of agree with Dee as far as her take, you know, with the 3, you know, things as far as the MVP play, you know, like I thought, you
difference
know,
difference maker and the player play of
yeah,
the game.
I thought Embiid definitely was the MVP of the game, and I thought Shake, you know, you can't say enough about that guy. I thought he played a really strong game as well. And again, I thought that play that D said, you know, at the end where Simmons got that slam to take that 5-point lead, I think it was, to pretty much slow
109-105.
Yeah, so that was. Yeah, that was it, man. That, you know, that solidified the game and was a pretty strong finish for Simmons. And I can't be happier for, you know, the first game of the season. I think, you know, like I said, you know, as a casual fan watching the game, it really was a pleasure to watch. I was kind of a little scared there when they were down 10 heading into that fourth quarter, I'll be honest with you, but they regrouped and they got it done.
Yeah, and by the way, I wanted to point this one out as well. By the way, I thought that on that bucket by Simmons with that dunk that he got from Steph Curry, the pass, they had that mix up defensively. I thought he got fouled by Thomas Bryant. That's just me, right? He got bumped.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He got bumped.
Yeah, I have to watch it again.
Yeah, he got bumped. You'll see that highlight one more time. You'll see it. And I thought he was fouled on that one, but hey, maybe they just felt like, hey, he was already up there. It was already in. You're not going to call that one, but it was what it was. But no, and listen, we're not going to overreact to this one. But what the way we look at this one is based off of what we've seen in the past as well. They would have lost this game last season. And I understand that it is at home. And oftentimes the crowd would help them get themselves back into the game in a game like this one. Crowd wasn't there tonight. they had to lean on themselves. They had to lean on their coaching staff. They had to lean on their head coach and believe in one another that they can get it done. And they did. They were the better team, and they found a way to do it, Drew. Thanks for the call, man. Happy holidays to you. If we don't speak to you again tomorrow, really appreciate it, man. Enjoy your night.
All right, thanks, Devon.
You got
thanks.
It, man. You got it. Yes. So I actually thought that this was one, even with the 29-2 record, I'll say it again. Even with the 29-2 record, I could sit there, right? I can sit here right now and say to you that I felt like they would have lost that game last season. Once they went on that 11-0 run, to start off the third quarter, Washington, and they were rolling. They were up 75-65 until Shake Milton got a bucket and the foul to make it 75-68 off of a Furkan Korkmaz really good defensive play to cut off the passing angle to the right of the play. Steal, middle of the floor, Shake goes down, gets the layup, and one. I look at that one and I'm saying, all right, this is going the other way. Joel Embiid can do all he needs to do in the fourth quarter, but they're not going to find out. We've seen this movie before, and this is different. Maybe. Maybe. It's a good sign, though, to start things off. 610-632-0975, your reaction. 113-107, the Philadelphia 76ers win their game one start of the regular season here on 97.5 The Fanatic. How about this one? An identical score to the Orlando Magic taking down the Miami Heat. 113-107. We go in the post next with Pat in Fort Myers right here on The Fanatic. Pat.
What's going on, Devon? How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in, but watching that Brooklyn Nets game against what they did to the Warriors.
Last night.
Yeah, correct. It had me thinking. I was like, all right, so Ben Simmons for Harden kind of thing, but then you got to have someone to stop Kevin Durant. Or not stop him, but like at least put a body on him.
Try to slow him down, yeah. That is definitely going to be Ben Simmons' assignment. Let's just put that. That's going to be his assignment going forward.
And the more and more I hear about these like James Harden rumors, the more and more I think that like if Maxie can shine and the way Maxie, I'm not saying he's going to be the focal point, but you need Tobias Harris to make the money work. But just say that you throw in Maxie, Dyble, a couple ones and a couple options to swap. I mean, if Daryl Morey can somehow spin this to where you have James Harden and Embiid on the offensive end on a pick and roll, and then you let Ben Simmons take the fast break on the defensive side, you game plan Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, I think that has to make us the favorite to win the East.
If you add Harden on this team, that would make you one
the favorite over Brooklyn?
I think so, yes. I do think so. I agree with you. That would make you the favorite, and it would be Brooklyn, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee in no particular order, but I do think the 76ers would be at the top, 1, 2, or 3 for sure.
Well, let's get it done, then. Let's get it done, man. Throw it up there. Let's get it done.
Yep, no doubt about it. Pat, I have to ask you on your way out, MVP of the game was who?
Joel Embiid. Are you kidding me?
Joel Embiid, 29-14, difference maker of the game.
I think it's Embiid, what he did in the fourth quarter.
Fair.
I don't even think it's a question.
Fair enough in the play. Go ahead.
Yeah. I love what he does, what he brings to our team. Like he's almost like the Draymond Green of the Warriors, but he's a way better player, if that makes any sense. Like, he has the skill of, like, Steph Curry's the best player on the Warriors, but Draymond's the leader. On our team, Embiid can be both. He can be the emotional leader, and he could be the best player.
You got it, man. Thanks for the call. Have a great one. Happy holidays to you, Pat.
Yeah, you too, man.
We'll check in with you another time, man. Thank you so much. 610-632-0975. Sixers once again walk away with their first win of the regular season, the 2021 season, 113-107, led by All-Star Joel Embiid, 29 points, 14 rebounds, and a team high 34 minutes and 50 seconds played, 10 of 17 from the floor, 8 of 9 from the free throw line for the big fella, 3 turnovers. We didn't really dive too much into the ones that he held onto the ball too much and resulting in not recognizing again the double team. quickly enough, getting the ball out and giving his team an opportunity. We can get into that. But in the fourth quarter, most importantly, 15 points, 11 minutes and 25 seconds. Of those free throws that we talk about with him in the game, right? 8 of 9, 5 for 5 in the fourth quarter. And a technical free throw that he made as well. That's what you call your key guy down the stretch doing what you need to be done. 610-632-0975. All right, quick break. We come right back and get with Jim, Fred, Chris, Adam, and everybody else. 610-632-0975. Sixers win, 113-107. We go in the post until midnight. Tyler Zuli producing right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
One point Washington lead.
No way to go in the first. Simmons with it. Fouling extended on the far side with a left hand dribble. Out the rim and a slam. Joel Embiid with an alley-oop jam from Ben Simmons. And the Sixers go up by 1 with 4 minutes gone by.
Joel Embiid's first bucket of the night in alley-oop from Ben Simmons early on to make it 12-11. Nice to see that high-low action from the two. We talked about it last night in Beers with Bob, the Sixers preview special with Bob Cooney, D. Lineham, and myself. And we pointed out how we don't see often lobs from Embiid to Simmons or Embiid at all. And we got one very early in the game as they connected 12-11. And that connection, one of Ben Simmons' In terms of his assists, 7 assists on the night. Welcome back to In the Post as we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Sixers win 113-107 in their debut. Start of the season tonight. They're off for a few days, back at it on Saturday in New York to take on the New York Knicks at the Garden. So they have a few days off to celebrate the holidays before they get back for game number 2, which is Saturday. I believe a 7:30 tip right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So make sure you guys tune in Saturday, 7:30, Sixers basketball as they travel to New York to take on the Knicks for game number 2 of the season, looking to go 2-0. The Knicks actually flirted with a W early on, but eventually things came back down to normal as they fell tonight. The New York Knicks quickly, as I look at the score here, Indiana took down the New York Knicks tonight, 121-107, but R.J. Barrett really had himself a good showing at one point. He was perfect from the field, ended up with 26 points, 11 of 15 from the floor with 8 boards in 34 minutes of play. Alec Burks, former 76ers, 22 minutes off the bench for the New York Knicks in their loss tonight at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. But for your 76ers, before we get back to Jim, Adam, Fred, Chris, 2 open phone lines, 25 minutes commercial free, 610-632-0975. I have to point out, again, not to be ignored, the play that we saw from Dwight Howard in his minutes on the floor. 13 minutes and 10 seconds, 4 points. Never a scorer where he gets his, and now a limited role because of a backup situation, but he's going to play significant minutes enough as the primary backup to Joel Embiid, who played, again, a team-high 34 minutes and 50 seconds. He had 10 rebounds in 13 minutes and 10 seconds, 3 on the offensive glass for Dwight Howard, 1 block shot, 2 assists as well. So already, again, we can see right away, we can see immediately paying dividends with what he does on the floor as a veteran, as a defender. And if you saw, and if you listen to postgame with Tom McGinnis, saw things on social media as well, Dwight Howard was out there postgame along with Ben Simmons, getting shots up after the win, 113-107. So when Ben Simmons finally stepped to the podium and answered a few questions about the game, he also answered the questions of why were you out there? What was that? And he pointed out how Dwight Howard believes in him and keeps telling him he wants him to be his best and wants him to be great. And he's going to continue to follow with what he does. And maybe this is something that will be routine for them, going out there, following a game to get some shots up, no matter the outcome. So that was a really good sign to see. Nice showing from Dwight Howard in his 13 minutes and 10 seconds with 4 points, 10 boards, one block shot in 13 minutes and 10 seconds. 610-632-0975. And again, that highlight that you heard from Simmons to Embiid, that was because our MVP of the game here tonight on In the Post was Joel Embiid with his 29 points, 14 rebounds in his game high, team high, 34 minutes and 50 seconds, 10 of 17 from the floor, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. And as Stan pointed out, only 1 3-point attempt tonight. He was wide open. Simmons hit him with a good pass. Cannot be mad at the shot. He made it. You move on. Let's go back to the phones. 610-632-0975. In the Post next with Jim in Havertown on the Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Devon. Thanks for taking the call, man.
Thank you.
Hey, hopefully Dwight was able to go out with Ben and work on those free throws, because my man still went 2 for 6 from the line tonight.
He did. Yes, he did. I was talking to someone via text, and we pointed that out because some people, you know, they pay attention to the certain nines, and the number was 16 and a half, and he had 16, and he missed 2, 4 free throws. Yeah.
Yeah, so those 4 misses were tough, and I don't know, most winning championships come down to, like, winning shots, not winning post-ups, and I'm not trying to argue. I wasn't really excited about what I saw tonight, and I feel like it's a lot of the same stuff. Like, what has changed? Who's our guy going to the go-to shot? We had to come back by 16 in the fourth quarter to beat these guys. And, you know, that's great that Embiid played 30 plus minutes, but, Tobias Harris, like, I'm just not really excited about what I saw. And to me, it's the same old, same old. I'm not saying that Ben Simmons' free throws take away from a nice fourth quarter comeback, but I mean, what to you tells you this is a different record but the same album,
well,
or vice versa?
You're not wrong, Jim, in your outlook, because as D. Lina pointed out when she came on, she said she was still frustrated because it was a lot of the same. And I saw a lot of the same as well. But for me, what was encouraging, again, the fact that Embiid did play the final 11:30 of the fourth quarter, where normally he is on a count. From Brad Brown and having to take him out.
Encouraging versus expected. It was encouraging that he played 11 plus minutes in the fourth, but it should be, gosh darn, not expected. But
here's the thing. It wasn't there before. So that's why I'm going with something that was encouraging for me in game number one. So with that, right, like you said, you saw a lot of what we're used to. I agree with you. What I'm not used to is him playing over 11 minutes in the fourth quarter and being that guy to close it out. When they were down, as you pointed out, 16 points at one point, Jim, he was the one who bullied Thomas Bryant to make sure that he started to get himself going.
What happens when he gets doubled? Who's the, like, we still don't have an answer after him, man. Danny Green or the Carey brother? Like, so I'm getting a bit excited, but who's going to step up if he doesn't? And I still just don't see it.
And you're fair about that. All I say to you, and I'm not making excuses for any of them, it's game one. We don't have that answer. And I don't know that you would have had that answer tonight, even if you saw it from anybody else. You might have been excited that the guy, let's say Tyrese Maxey, did it for you, Chris. Look, Shake Milton did a very nice job.
True.
In the fourth quarter, maybe he is him. Maybe he is the guy that we put that label on later on, because it doesn't have to be maybe the one, the usual suspect that we want it to be. And Shake Milton was only 1 of 1 in the fourth quarter, but his poise, what he did playing the 12 minutes, the threat that he had out there with those 15 points that he had going into the corner, no turnovers with the ball in his hands and helping to run the offense, not named Ben Simmons. That is something that we could potentially look at as an answer to your question that we don't yet know, but we can look at it and say, maybe looking back all the way to December 23rd, we saw a glimpse of it in that game.
What's your old saying? You can't spell optimist without Devon, right?
Hey, listen, Hey, let's do it then.
Hey, love your positivity, man. Have a great holiday.
Hey, Jim, I'll throw some negative things out there. I have them, but I'm trying to hold off on them right now after game one.
I'm Jim Bowe from Havertown. There's another guy who's not well-liked Jim, but I'm Jim
Bowe. No. I know the difference because I am one, I'll be honest, I'm one who liked that Jim. So, you know, that's a call from beyond what I'm supposed to do. I know you're different than that, Jim. So trust me, I've talked to him enough to know the difference. And Jim, we appreciate your call. And you know, I'll always have these types of conversations no matter what. I'll point out the negatives. How about this? We are 11:08. I haven't talked about Tobias Harris.
We got to talk about his plus 33.
Why?
Shake was plus 33. Sorry, yeah. Tobias was, ooh.
Well, see, I didn't do that on purpose, Jim. I didn't do that on purpose.
It.
Happy
Love
holidays,
it.
Man.
Get into it. Take him down. Come
Happy
on,
holidays,
down.
Man. Thank you. Really appreciate it. I haven't done it. Said to Tyler, before we get to Chris here, I said it to you. Not going to do it. Game one.
No, I think you should.
Doc Rivers said, I'm not worried.
Listen, it's not like the end of the season. It's not like a totally decisive blow to the play of Tobias Harris to say that he was bad tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you can be both optimistic to say that it was one game and also be objective to say that Tobias Harris was really not very good tonight.
Oh, I was going to say that he was bad tonight. I just mean what I normally do. Like, look, we had D last night call us, and D was like, hey, you point out all this stuff with Tobias Harris, but you know, this is why we point out the stuff about Tobias Harris. When they were in that rut and what Jim is asking, who's going to do X, you lean on your other scorer to do that. And he did not. He didn't. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones we go. Devon Givens with you until midnight here in the post following Sixers 113-107. A season opening and home opening victory over the Washington Wizards, who had a very, very good showing. First debut from their two guys in the backcourt. Bradley Beal with a game-high 31 points, shooting 50% from the field, 3 of 8 from deep, and 6 of 7 from the free throw line. Russell Westbrook, 36 minutes and 18 seconds, and his regular season debut as a member of the Washington Wizards. And all he did was get a triple-double for this basketball team. And you guys know I'm a DraftKings guy, and one of the odds boosts was, hey, Russell Westbrook, triple-double. Is he going to get it? I was like, no way, he's not going to get it tonight. Shame on me, because he always does it. 21, 15 assists, 11 boards, 6 turnovers in 36 minutes and 18 seconds. Nice line for Russell Westbrook for the Wizards. Chris in West Philly next in the post. Chris.
What is going on, Devon?
Oh, Chris, we're back at it again, man.
Yeah, it's about that time again, man.
Yes, sir.
I do agree that, you know, it did look like a lot of the same of the old once they do that lead. Well, I think weren't they up by like 17, I think? Wasn't that the most they were up at one?
The Sixers' biggest lead was 13, Wizards 12.
Okay, all right, well, 13 it was.
Yeah, but to your point, when they did it, it seemed like, oh, okay, they're about to roll.
Right. It looked different. It did look different. That's what I can say. Like, you know, it looked a lot of the same. It looked like a lot of the same, but it still just looked a little different. Like, I think, you know, outside of Ben just, you know, still not shooting at least a, you know, mid-range jumper, I can say on the positive side, I like Maxie, man. He has a nice feel for the game. Like, just the way he came out. He came out, you know, a little bit like, you know, it wasn't a shock to him. You know, he played at his own pace. He looked good off the ball. He made good decisions with the ball. I like that. I didn't like, you know, Matisse not getting in at all. I think, you know, at some point this year, maybe not, you know, I think after 20 games, they're going to see that Danny isn't really better than Matisse for this team. I think Matisse can do just as much, if not more, as Danny can do defensively. And I think, you know, with the way Danny has been playing these last couple of years, Matisse can match his offensive output. You know, he's just not known as that consistent three-point shooter. But I think Perk will be our main sniper this year. I think Seth is going to be a great addition, but Perk is going to be that sniper for us this year. And
I mean, Joel looks like Joel. You know, Ben, he just got to, excuse me, I think, like, you know, he just doesn't have, he's not playing with, you know, that feel like he wants to show something new. You know, it just feels like Ben is with the, game.
Ben loves to pass. He loves to pass the ball, and when he has shooters around him like he does now, supposedly with Green and Curry, then you know he definitely wants to get them good looks, because that's the unselfish part of him when he wants to do it. The selfish part when he does have those openings, to your point of being a little more aggressive. We saw a few times where he still jumped in the air, turned the ball over again, leaving his feet. Where we all know it's a no-no, but he keeps doing it. And I was encouraged. Here's what I thought he was going to do, Chris, early on. I thought he was going to take, when he took this, he took a mid-range jumper. It was right around 16 feet in the first quarter. And I was like, okay, I like that. That might be something that he would continue to do going forward. Actually, I thought he would do it a few more times in the game. He didn't hesitate. He came around in the B screen. He was wide open. He went up and he shot it. He missed it, but it was on the mark. It was fine. And I thought that would lead him to do it a little bit more. But maybe that's to the point of, again, talking to Jim, an encouraging thing that we might see with him doing so differently. Like he talked about seeing the same, like you pointed out, seeing a lot of the same. Maybe seeing something a little bit differently here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, because I think at the end of the day, you know, with Daryl Morey being a new GM, and, you know, all the time with any, you know, sports team, with that new GM, they come in and they have the strongest poker face immediately. So, you know, they may be telling them, hey, you're not, you know, going to be traded. But that 16-foot jumper, what it does for the whole team, you know, if Ben starts, you know, if he just shoots five of those a game to go along with the 10 shots that he shoots, you know, right at the rim, that's a better balance of shot selection for Ben. And that's a chance for Joel to get a shot at shorter rebounds. And, you know, it was times where he made that, you know, that it was, you know, that pick and roll that they do right by the basket, and Ben tried to pass it with, you know, guys clogged up, and it just never works. But that's going to be the thing that keeps him around, you know, because when there's talks about a guy being traded, no matter what a GM says, you know, part of it is true and part of it is false, but you can't, the player's going to determine how much of that is, you know, whichever. And that's, now that the season started, that's going to be the thing that Ben has to do, because it just can't get down to the point where, like, I would say Shake was definitely the difference maker tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, Shake, you know, he's being 100%. that shooting guard that we need. Like, he is showing that he can go get a bucket when we need him to get a bucket.
And I would say combo, because early you needed him to score, and he did it. Late, you needed him to run the team. He did that. You got a combo guard there that can come off and do both when you need it. And that's what Doc Rivers has been talking about. He saw the 39-point explosion against the Clippers that was he was coaching last year. And now he sees this again, and we're talking about that six-man stuff, Chris. And it was a really good showing. But listen, man, thanks for the call. Thanks for the difference maker point to the Shake Milton part of it. And happy holidays to you, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. Y'all have a good night.
You too, man. Same to you, Chris. Thanks, man. 610-632-0975. We're in the post until midnight. Sixers win 113-107, taking down the Washington Wizards in game one of the regular season. Back at it on Saturday in New York with the New York Knicks. Let's go back to the phones as we go in the post with Adam in Germantown here on 97.5. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Devon. I just wanted to say you must have, you know, taken some satisfaction out of this game.
Yeah, a little bit with certain things. Like I pointed out, being down, oftentimes we've seen them even at home not be able to come back, and they found a way to come back. Positive for me, some satisfaction with Joel Embiid playing the whole fourth quarter.
I'm going to bring up a point, the reason why I think you should be satisfied. Because, and I'm not trying to interrupt you, you got tons of other callers, you'll talk to them.
Oh, you're not interrupting? You're calling in. We appreciate it.
I just mean that when it comes down to it, I mean, okay, did Brett Brown have Seth Curry? Did Brett Brown, he did have Milton. He tried to use him later. But, you know, Brett Brown had dreams, you know, when it came to Ben Simmons. And I think that might have been his undoing. just thinking he was going to be the next Magic Johnson. But finally, you know, you got Doc Rivers, who finally put him in what he basically has put him in the role of is a small forward who basically takes it to the rack. If it's not there, he's a secondary ball handler that creates, like you said, creates offense. His defense was huge tonight in that small forward free safety role. He gave him a chance with Embiid. Both of them did a job on interior D. I mean, you know that Simmons helped because he had three blocks. It's just finally they stopped with the phony Magic Johnson, and they now another team, if they really ever wanted to trade for him, and even the Sixers, they know what they have now in Ben Simmons because Doc Rivers finally found a role that makes sense. His 32 minutes as a minus two as a starter with Embiid being a minus two as a starter and the rest of them out of control most of the way, was huge. I mean, they were both, they anchored the defense that gave Curry, Milton, and
Korkmaz had 14 off the bench.
Yeah, I guess I'll say Korkmaz. But it just seemed to me
I'm sorry, Korkmaz has 11 off the bench. My apologies.
No, it's fine. He was in double figures. But the point is, you can't win with those three guys. They're not going to stop anybody. But if Embiid and Simmons can anchor the defense, and that was always kind of the idea that Brett Brown wanted, but he still wanted Ben Simmons to have that chance to be the phony Magic Johnson. And it kind of ruined everything. So, unfortunately, I love Brett Brown, but Doc Rivers, as an experienced coach, found a position for Simmons. You know, and you always, and I felt the same way. He didn't have a position, but he found one and said, I don't care if he shoots threes. He'll be our secondary ball handler. He'll be our small forward, and he'll cover other areas, other defensive positions. But on offense, he's going to basically play the small forward. And, like, you know what? That's fine. I thought tonight Scott Brooks and the Wizards played a great game. They did. They played a tough game, competitive. And for the first game, and the Sixers hung in there, like you said, in a game that was close and they didn't self-destruct. And I'm so like,
and we've seen the self-destruction many times. Many times.
I'll let you go, though. I know you got other calls.
No, it's fine, man. Listen, thanks for the call, man. Happy holidays to you, Adam, if we don't speak with you. And we'll definitely talk to you soon, man. Really appreciate it. You're right. The self-destruction happens quite a bit with this basketball team, and we did not see it tonight. Ben Simmons, when we talk about the play of the game, for me, which we will get to. We'll get to the play of the game one more time. But the play of the game with that one, when you think about it, and the pass was made by Seth Curry to Ben Simmons for that dunk in the paint right there as he's at the, quote, dunker's position, right? Seth Curry had the ball. Ben Simmons was underneath the basket. Russell Westbrook left him. He gambled. Conversion, dunk. And I actually thought, again, Thomas Bryant fouled Ben Simmons on that particular play. The officials did not call it. They let it go. 610-632-0975. Ryan, we're going to start with you when we get back. I can't wait to talk about the spacing that he's speaking of when we get back. Ryan from Deptford. We'll get to Brian in Plymouth Meeting. Always good to catch up with Brian. Our final segment on the other side in the post. Sixers win 113-107, taking down the Washington Wizards. Again, Shake Milton off the bench, 19 points, 3 assists, 6 of 11 from the floor, 7 free throw attempts, making 5, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line in 29 minutes and 44 seconds, playing a big role in the Sixers' victory tonight over the Wizards, 113-107. Final segment on the other side. We are in the post until midnight. Sixers win right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Shake on a drive in the Molina. Lopez left-hand shot. Got it. Hallelujah. The Sixers with a driving hoop by Shake. He's 5 of 8. He continues to be aggressive.
Shake Milton just showing us everything in terms of his overall in the bag game package of the different types of ways he can score. Shake Milton, our difference maker of the game in 30 minutes of play, 19 points for the sixth man of the Philadelphia 76ers. Welcome back. We're in the post final segment for us as the Philadelphia 76ers pick up their first win of the regular season, 113-107. As we go a little bit deeper into the box score, as we get ready to talk about the spacing with Ryan, they were 8 of 28 from behind the three-point line tonight. The makes coming from Furkan Korkmaz standing out with Shake Milton as well. 3 of 6 from Furkan Korkmaz, 2 of 4 from Shake Milton. From deep, 1 of 5 for Seth Curry. Embiid making his lone three-pointer. Mike Scott, 1 of 3, his lone bucket of the night. And as we mentioned earlier, a combined 0 of 8 from Danny Green and Tobias Harris from deep. And yes, that's something that they're going to need. This is why they go out there and acquire these players to make shots. Once the spacing is there, make shots. They did not make them tonight, unfortunately. But it's early, and I do expect them to fall at some point. 610-632-0975. We go in the post next with Ryan in Deptford on 97.5. What's up, Ry?
Hey, D, what's up, brother?
What's happening?
Doing, man?
Good, man. Happy holidays to you.
That was my first thing. I want to wish you and yours a happy holiday. Before we get into some hoops, I just want to wish you know, everybody at the station, you know, happy holidays and stuff like that.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
But before I get into spacing, I just want to say, you know, guys are going to make shots. It's a make or miss league. You know, I don't want to get on Tobias and Danny Green too hard on the first night. So we'll chill on that, but at the same time, like the spacing that Doc gives us offense, you can see how much space Joel has to operate. You know, he's got so much space to operate, and you can see that's how he was dominating in the fourth quarter.
Sure, and when you start really making them, and they don't have much of a choice but to respect.
They came with double and triple teams tonight.
Absolutely.
And then we weren't even making shots on the perimeter. So that's how much, you know, how much he's dominating. But I'm not gonna dog Tobias. I mean, you know, they're gonna make and miss shots. It's gonna come with it. But we got a good core of guys and some good vets, and Ben played lights out defense tonight and stuff like that. And I'm encouraged by this tonight.
There's a lot to be.
I'm tired of losing to Westbrook. Westbrook always kicks our butt.
I think this was Embiid's first win against Russell Westbrook, if I'm not mistaken.
I wanted to look that up myself, but I was like, I can't remember the time. But last time we beat, he always kicks our butt.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And tonight, he almost did it again, but they found a way. Yeah. Again, they did something that we, again, are just accustomed to seeing. They did not let it happen. It was encouraging. I keep using that word, but it was encouraging.
Yeah, and you know, listen, the best thing about tonight is a win is a win is a win is a win. And we're 1-0 in the win column, and they're 0-1. So that's encouraging. Like you said, encouraging. So, like, all the national media, Westbrook put up a triple-double. Yeah, but they lost. So I'm encouraging with the floor spacing. I like the fact that, you know, we have guys are going to make shots. You know, you're off one night, you're on one night, and guys are going to make shots. Seth Curry ain't going to go, you know, shoot below 50% every night. Danny Green's going to, you know, and Tobias Harris, everybody's getting on Tobias Harris, but, and myself included, but he's going to have more good nights than bad nights. And it's a first game. So
yeah, it's a first game.
I'm encouraged by it. Had we lost, I'd have been a little more upset, but you know what? We won.
You did win, and once again, yes, man, we thank you for calling in. Thanks for the kind words. Happy holidays to you and yours, man. Really appreciate
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, sir. I look forward to talking to you down the line. So yep. Have a happy holiday.
No doubt, Ryan. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Now, Tobias Harris, we've gone quite a bit. I think we got started right around like 10-13 or so, and we really haven't talked about it. Look, it's no secret that following last season, I wasn't happy with his play in the bubble. Ben Simmons was down. Joel Embiid showed up. I thought he should have done more in the bubble in terms of scoring, because each game that they played against the Boston Celtics in that series, we could look back and say, if Tobias had done this, and he didn't. And reuniting with Doc Rivers, while you may not see that performance right away, again, the game called for him one more time. And he was unable to deliver in this particular one. Not to say that it won't happen down the line, as Ryan just pointed out, and many others have as well. I'm going to speak to Brian in Plymouth Meeting in a second. But, you know, it's frustrating. It is, because you can see it. Like, okay, this one's going to fall. They look good. And then as the game starts to go on, the game progresses. Now I'm looking at him, and he gets a ball on the left wing, has something mid-range. Like Doc Rivers pointed out, down the stretch, he got fouled. Two free throws. Thought he should have dunked it. I had the same thought with a mid-range pull-up. When instead of the pull-up, on the left wing, I can't remember the player that was right near him for the three-pointer, he decided to kick it to them. Now, they were kind of close, but I thought with Tobias Harris's elevation on his jumpers, that he would have a better opportunity of scoring right there, or even putting the ball on the deck for a second, take a dribble or two, contact, free throw, and it'll work out from there. He didn't, but that was the confidence at that point. He was on the night, once again, he shot 3 of 13. So you speak about it and you say, shooters, they will shoot themselves out of it. A lot of times they just squeeze off. I guess he felt like he squeezed off too much and the confidence was gone. Let's see what he does against the Knicks on Saturday as the Sixers take the floor in New York in the Garden, game 2 of their regular season. Let's see what happens with the squad. Let's go to Brian in Plymouth Meeting next in the post here on the Fanatic. What's up, B?
Yo, Devon. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Thank you.
Merry Christmas to my man, Ryan, who, like, if I had saw Russell Westbrook celebrate on our court one more time, I was going to lose my mind.
Yeah, and I want to say that they haven't beaten, because you played against Houston and Oklahoma City, so you only see them twice. I think he won all of them.
Like, Dwight Howard was talking smack to him, and I'm like, no, don't do that. That gets him going. And Embiid, you know, Embiid loves to talk, and that's great. I love it. But it gets guys like Westbrook going. Like, he plays so good against us. He played so well tonight. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you know I've gone to bat for Toby for 18 months now since we made that trade. I've always been positive. I got constructive.
You know I would go, and you know I would go the other way oftentimes.
For sure.
As much as I like him, like you, but you know, is talk.
I'm not a guy that's calling in complaining about his contract. Whatever. You know, whatever.
No.
Tonight was the worst performance I've seen a Sixers player play in high volume. That was the worst performance I've ever seen. It was terrible. 3 for 13 does not tell the story. He was so bad. And he can do way better. The rest of the team, like the three-point shooting, I bet you this will be one of our 3 or 4 worst three-point shooting performances in 72 games. Like, just statistically, it's impossible. Danny Green's going to be my whipping boy all year. I'm sorry to use that term. But when he's not making threes, he's not bringing anything to the court. So I would have rather seen Tyrone Maxey in the second half.
Tyrese.
I'm sorry, Tyrese. I don't know how to spell his last name, whether it's Y or E.
Yes, there's a Y.
But he was bringing more to the table because he'll play the same defense that Danny Green's going to play. And obviously, Danny Green knows exactly where to be on defense. That's important. I'm not underrating that. But if Danny Green's shot is not falling, then he's a worthless player, and he's streaky like that. So I would have loved to see Doc be like, and I would have loved to see Danny Green just go up and say, like, Coach, I don't have it tonight. We got plenty of warm bodies on this bench. Let's play them. You know, the starting unit between, we already covered Toby, but so Ben and Joe are playing with Seth Curry, Danny Green, and Harris. So that's going to clearly throw off their plus-minus numbers because Harris and Danny Green were so bad. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, I do. Yes.
Plus-minus numbers are really, they're no good.
And again, and you know me. And to your point of going to bat for Tobias, you know me. I'm not a big plus-minus guy. But when it stands out like Shake did tonight off the bench at plus 33, Korkmaz plus 14, and even, you know, Mike Scott, when he was out there, it was a plus 13 on the floor with them. Well, he didn't
Mike
do much.
Well, Mike's going to at least give you energy.
Yeah, he's going to give you some energy.
He misses threes too.
And he will, but he will squeeze off.
Confident.
Yeah, he will not back down from a shot. And that's what you want to see.
Well,
and in this case, Danny Green, a minus 27, really stands out.
Tobias Harris. When Toby gets past the ball at the three-point line, Devon, he's got to just take the three. What he does is he catches it, lets the defense re-center while he thinks about what he wants to do, and then he dribbles into an equally, like, he takes 7 seconds to shoot a two, which is the same percentage shot as the original three he passed up. And three is more than two. It's bad basketball. And it's like, I was saying to my friend that I was watching the game with, it's like Little League stuff. Like, what you have to think before the ball is hit to you, what are you going to do if I get the ball? If I get the ball, I'm standing at the three-point line, I get it, I'm going to shoot it because I'm a professional basketball player and I'll make that three.
I know, man. I know. But look, while I got you, before we let you go, MVP of the game?
Oh, it's clearly Joe.
Joe. Course,
once he got those two free throws and that, he just got the feel of the ball going in the basket. And he's like, I'm going to make all the shots from now on.
Difference maker.
Just, absolutely. Still Joe.
Still Joe? Okay. I went with Shake. But,
yes. And I can't say enough about Shake.
Yeah, I went with Shake.
Shake is awesome.
And knowing I know how much you pay attention to how things play out. The play of the game for you was what?
I mean, the Simmons dunk.
Yep. That's where I went. That's where D Lineham went. It was the play that they needed. And again, by the way, I thought it was a foul.
100%.
I thought it was a foul. Thomas Bryant fouled.
The refs are terrible tonight.
Yep. Ref should have called that.
If you give Ben that little bit of a window at the basket, he's going to take it, which is what people really underestimate about him.
Yep. Yep, absolutely, man. Brian, if I don't speak to you, man, I am back tomorrow.
I'm gonna call in when you're on the time slot you're supposed to be on.
Well,
so I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, well, I'm on tomorrow with Mike, 2 to 6.
Oh no! Well, if you're on with Mike, you might.
No. I'm sorry. I'm on in for Mike tomorrow, 2 to 6.
That's what I thought. I'll talk to you then tomorrow.
Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. You got it.
15 to shoot. Seth Curry back in the game. He has a dribble. And Donald Simmons again, wide open for a jam. Ben Simmons from Curry. And the Sixers lead by 4. Boy, a defensive left by Washington. And now the Wizards take time.
Ah, look at that. Look at that. The play of the game. Seth Curry to Ben Simmons for the dunk. 109-105. Really sealed it for. It was a key play. Seth Curry was trying to figure out where to go with the basketball. Ben Simmons popped open underneath the basket in that, again, quote, dunker spot. Found him, rose up, finished, contact, should have been a foul. Don't know if he would have made the free throw or not, but that's not the point. The point was he made the bucket, great pass from Curry, great finish by the team. 109-105, should have been a foul on Thomas Bryant. They walk away with the win, 113-107. And before we get to Ike, my man Ike is here, Dom as well. That play really stood out. Tyler, your play of the game was what?
So my play of the game happened about 90 seconds or so beforehand. And I thought that play was, important, obviously, because of what they were able to accomplish with the spacing. And I mean, Ben Simmons was obviously wide open in that dunker spot. It was an easy 2 points. But my play happened just a few minutes before that. So we've got that one if you want to hear it.
Go for it.
Embiid is there. Now Ben one-on-one with Bradley Beal. Curry with it. Seth behind his back to Joel. Five to shoot. And Embiid almost turned it over. Three to shoot. Curry dribbles, leans, shoots, up and gone. Seth Curry with a clutch field goal. And the Sixers by two with a minute 40 to go.
And the reason that I picked
that play.
That made
it 103-101.
Yes.
Yes.
The reason that I picked that play was because that exact situation, had it happened last year, and again, we're comparing a year's worth of games to one game in particular, but the poise that I saw from the Sixers, from Seth Curry specifically on that play, didn't exist last season. That's a shot clock violation last year, and the Sixers turned the ball over, and it's still 101-101, and who knows what happens down the stretch. Those 2 points proved to be really crucial. So while I think the Ben dunk was kind of the proverbial nail in the coffin, I thought that play was more important to me because that doesn't happen last year, and they might lose this game last year.
Yep. And I pointed it out. This was something that we may not have seen a season ago in a situation like this. So great stuff, man. 610-632-0975. We're in the post for about 10 more minutes here. So let's get our phone calls in. Ike in Burlington in the post next on the Fanatic. Ike.
Hey, what's up, Doug?
What's going on, man?
Ain't nothing, man. Been definitely enjoying that win. I was sitting there watching it with my son, and I was saying, this is exactly the kind of game they would have lost last year.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And you know what? I'm not even, you know, dogging Brett Brown. I actually like Brett Brown. I think 2 years ago, with what he had to deal with and running the offense through Jimmy late in the game, I thought he kind of got the best out of that team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe could have got a little bit more, especially if Joe was in decent shape. I like Brett. I think he was a good coach, but not a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for that time period, you know, he was able to nurture them guys, you know, put his arm around them. But now it's time, you know, to go from middle school to high school. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I honestly, you couldn't have asked for a better situation for Doc. I think this team is perfect for him. But other than the game and their situation itself, you know, the other big news is you keep hearing James Harden, right? I wanted to go a different direction. What you thought about this? Because I really don't want James. I don't know if it would definitely be a fit. You know, Philadelphia. I just think if some of the stuff came out about him that was coming out of Houston, like we would eat him alive. And I just don't know if it would be a perfect fit. But Tobias Harris, where are you at on him, man? I'm not all the way off, but I don't know, man. If we could move him, I was thinking, I love Zach LaVine from the Bulls. If we could move Tobias, and even if we had to give up Matisse for Zach LaVine, mm-hmm. and say Garrett Temple, you know, and maybe to make the salaries match, and we send them to Bias, Matisse, and Furkan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I would rather go that route, man, because I think Zach LaVine is so underrated, and I think he would fit instantly here. And
yeah, I'm curious to see him in a different place because he's just been playing for losing organizations in Minnesota and Chicago. And yeah, his prime years are being wasted. But I just don't know that they would, even with the sprinkler of Tobias Harris, Matisse Thybulle, I don't know why Chicago would do that for him.
Well, what was the news coming out like when free agency was breaking that his name was being tossed around?
Yeah, his name was just being thrown because Billy Donovan is there. They have a new general manager, new president of basketball operations, Arturis Karnatsevas. And what's my man's name who left here? I'm drawing a blank. Mark Eversley, who's the general manager of that team, and Billy Donovan there. So with them doing their own thing, a new outlook. Look, they did not extend Lauri Markkanen on his rookie deal. They didn't give him an extension where others did. So not to say that they won't in next offseason with his rookie contract. not to say that that won't happen, but I understand and I don't disagree with you. I really like Zach LaVine. I don't know how it will work here, but I would be interested in seeing it. And because as much as you see the 19 from Tobias Harris, we talked about it last night on our preview special, sometimes they just feel like empty. 19.
Did he have 19 again tonight?
No. But that's what he normally does on his, on average. He averages 19 and he does that in his sleep, Ike. But you need it.
Never notice it.
Right. That's the thing. And it's unfortunate because he's a good scorer and you hate to have to look at it in that way. But listen, man, thanks for the call. We got to keep it moving before
we enjoy your holiday.
You
man.
As well. Ike, thanks, man. Appreciate it. It's frustrating. It's frustrating. And we'll have more time tomorrow. Dom, we're going to get you in. Hang on. I just wanted to let everybody know who has been listening that we are going to be on tomorrow. We will not be on 6 to 10 or 7 to 10. We will be on 2 to 6 filling in for Mike Missanelli. Tyrone will be off as well. So Tyler Zuli will be here in Tyrone's role as also. So we will be on 2 to 6 tomorrow for Mike Missanelli on the 97.5 The Fanatic side. I'm not sure about the televisions. I don't know.
I think we are.
Are we?
I think so. I've not been told otherwise, so I would imagine that we are.
I guess. All right, but either way, we're in 2 to 6.
Means I got to brush my hair.
You got to brush your hair.
Maybe shave the beard a little bit.
A nice shirt. I can't. Well, all I do is wear hoodies anyway, so I don't think it really matters. But anyway, we'll be on 2 to 6 tomorrow right here, and we'll have plenty more to discuss with everyone while you ride around to try to get your last-minute gifts. Shame on you. Shame on you. But everybody does it. I know. Let's go to Dom for the final call of the night in a post from West Philly. Dom.
Divine, what's up with you, man? Merry Christmas.
Same to you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it real quick, right? So, like, look, I'm 6'4", weigh over 200 pounds, right? I grew up West Philly, went to Overbrook. All the little homies used to pick me to play ball because of my height. But I'm pure garbage. Right? I'm all the way trash, but I look good. This is Tobias Harris. Okay? Tobias Harris is going to be the reason we fail. He's going to be the thing. Doc Rivers, now I understand what good coaching is. I remember Brett Brown was saying he liked to put people in situations and then let them figure it out. You know? He would put people in basketball situations. And Joel and Ben was like, we need plays. We don't know what we're doing. Right? Now I see Doc Rivers is actually giving them plays. And they're fighting and making it look. I'm very encouraged. But I think he's going to put Tobias Harris in a position where he's going to have to show and prove. And this guy, this clown, is going to shoot us in the foot, man. Tobias, I'm telling you right now. I know you don't be going in on Tobias, but I'm going in on him all year. Danny Green has championship pedigree. I trust Danny Green is going to. He knows how to win. Tobias don't have no pedigree like that. Curry has pedigree in the family. Tobias don't have no pedigree like that, Divine. He's a problem. It's going to be all year long. I don't like your man. You know, I call him Tapwater Tobias, man. And this guy here is the only thing that I don't like about the team.
Yep. Well, you know, hey, man. that's why I'm just quiet letting you talk, man.
Yo, I feel like you and Tobias, like he might be your cousin, like Mikael, man. Like you talk, you talk more about Mikael than Tobias.
I should. You know, I gotta push my cousin out there, man. Gotta let it, you know what I'm saying? Hey, Dom, man, happy holidays to you.
Thanks to you.
Thanks for the call. And hey, if Tobias has a good game, you gotta call so we can talk about it.
You know it.
No doubt. Dom, talk to you soon, man. You got it, man. Listen, great stuff from everyone tonight. It's great to have it back. We talked about it during the preseason. We have regular season hoops back. And it's great to be able to do it again. So we thank everyone for checking in. Congrats, game one in the books for the Sixers. A nice win, comeback, and they got it done. So it was fantastic to see that. It was great to talk to you all about some hoops again, some meaningful hoops. And we look forward to doing so for the remainder of the season as we go along. We really do. Sixers win 113-107. Thanks to all the callers, the listeners, the tweeters. Thanks to D. Lineham for checking in at the top of the show. A new part of our post-game show in the post D. Lynam will join us to give instant analysis once we get on after the great post-game work from Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com, Marty Dickerson, Tom McGinnis, Tyler Zuli, and Connor Thomas. Great work from everyone on the Sixers Radio Network side. Really appreciate it. And to all of you, we will talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock in for Mike Missanelli right here. Brian Westbrook from 4 to 5, some hoops, some birds. We'll have you covered on Christmas Eve and Family Game Day right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.